Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos Erev Shabbos Kodesh learning, which is Baruch Hashem going strong and continuing every week with the sponsors and the attendance. It should be truly an inspiration for all of us who participate in this and brings chusim to all of us. Tonight's shir is sponsored the Zecher Nishmaso and the Ilui Nishmaso, Shlomo ben Yisrael, Alav Hashem, on the occasion of his 42nd Yahrzeit on 21 Teves by Vivian Mermelstein, Le'ilui Nishmas, her father. Vivian told me about her father. He was a Holocaust survivor. He was actually from the town of Auschwitz before Auschwitz became an infamous Rachman Tzan concentration camp, Oshoim. It was a town during the war. At one point, you told me three vignettes about his life during the war. He was being hidden. After a week in hiding, he told his friend, "We have to leave." They left, and 2 days later, the Gentile was hung and found for hiding the Jews. So he had some sort of intuition and understood they had to leave. Furthermore, the Baba of a Rebbe was arrested, and he gave his daughter to Vivian's father to watch because he had such trust in her father. Furthermore, in the ghetto, her father was with his brothers. They had one pass to travel, and the brothers said that he, Vivian's father, should go and get more passes because they knew that they would not be able to survive without him. When he came back with the travel passes, they had already been deported and taken away. And nevertheless, despite everything he went through and all of his losses, Vivian said he always loved people. He was so giving. He didn't take for himself. Very upbeat. He always had a smile. He made people feel good. He never made his children feel like children of survivors. She said he came to this country with nothing and he persevered, leaving a wonderful legacy of Torah. He was also so proud of his children learning Torah because he was unable to do so at a young age. He was Nifter 42 years ago at the age of 61, from a heart attack to Hei Zichro Baruch. This year should be on Aliyah Neshama for Shlomo Ben Yisrael. And we thank Vivian and her family very much for the sponsorship. I just want to note that my mother-in-law, we have a special guest tonight. My mother-in-law is joining us. So welcome to my mother-in-law. Ima, you could wave at everybody. There she is. Because my mother-in-law is friends with Vivian, and my mother-in-law knew Vivian's father, and my husband's uncle knew Vivian's father. And so I sent the invitation to my mother-in-law, and I said he might want to join Shir this evening because it is Nishmaso. So let us learn. So I bet everyone thinks we're finally finished the Mishnah. We're not. Well, I know. Esther Klein's probably smiling because she told me 2 weeks ago, "Thanks so much. I really enjoyed that Mishnah." We weren't finished last week and we're not finished this week. Why are we not finished this week? So I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. And here is the Mishnah on my screen. Could you see my screen? Okay. So Hillel tells us, Hillel Omer, Al Tifrosh. Now, we went through each piece. If you missed them, they're on YU Torah. I recommend that you go and listen to them. I think it will be enlightening, and I hope that you will learn something that you did not know before. I certainly learned things I did not know before this year series on specifically this Mishnah, Perek Beis Mishnah Hei. So, Hillel Omer, and I'm not going to go into any of these, but what didn't we study in this Mishnah yet? Al tifrosh min hatzibur, do not separate from the community. Va'al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha, do not believe in yourself to the day of death. Va'al tadin es chavercha ad shatagi elim komo, and do not judge your friend until you reach their place. Va'al tomer dav rashi afshar lishma, shesofa lihishama. I can't even translate it into English because we gave 7 interpretations as to what that means. Va'al tomer, and do not say, likisha ipana eshna shemelo tifana. We spent 2 weeks on that. Do not say, when I have time, I will learn, lest you will never have time. What didn't we cover? I'll tell you what we didn't cover. The first 2 words of the Mishnah, Hillel Omer. And sometimes, and I'm very excited for this year, because sometimes, I'm so excited for every year, did you know by now? Because sometimes we spend so much time learning what the Tana taught us without understanding who teaches us these lessons, and that's an integral component into understanding our learning. So it's Hillel who teaches us, don't separate from the community. It's Hillel who teaches us, do not believe in yourself until the day of death. It's Hillel HaZaken who says, do not judge your friend until you reach their place. It's Hillel who says, but I can't translate, don't say a matter that Al tomar davrashi afshar lishma shesofa lihishama. Don't give up. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Don't say, when I have time, I'll hear that Dvar Torah. We gave 7 interpretations. And do not say, when I have time to learn, I will learn, lest you will never learn. So it's very, you know what we didn't learn in this Mishnah? We didn't learn the first 2 words of the Mishnah, Hillel Omer. And we're so busy throwing around the names of, in this case, the Tanaim and sometimes the Amoraim, without really understanding who they were. And I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking to you. I am the first to say this is true about myself, without taking the time to actually know who they were, about their lives, and how their lives influenced their teachings. So today I want to talk about Hillel. And what is it that Hillel taught us, and who was the persona of Hillel HaZaken? So first of all, I've read before, I couldn't find it, I don't remember. Usually, usually, b'darach kol, I know which sefer of the Rav I read something in, Baruch Hashem. I don't remember which sefer I read it in. But Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful interpretation into how Pirkei Avos begins. The Mishnah says, Hu Haya Omer. Hillel Omer. What is Shammai Omer? Hu Haya Omer, Hillel Omer. So Rav Soloveitchik explains, they used to say, means they demonstrated through how they live the truism of their teaching. You know the expression, I'm using it in my own words, actions speak louder than words. Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, by the way he lived his life, you understood that his teachings were so true because of the person that he was and how he lived. So Hu Haya Omer al Tifrosh min Hatzibur means that Hillel was not a person who separated from the community. His actions bespoke of the person that he was. And this is such an important teaching, because I even reached out to Rabbi Shai Shachter today and I asked him if he remembered where that was taught in Rav Soloveitchik's farim. So he said his father, Shlita Rav Herschel Shechter, quotes it in one of his farim, but Rabbi Shechter does not know where it's brought down on the Rav's farim. So I said, I know I absolutely read it in one of the farim. I have over a 30 farim of Rav Soloveitchik, almost 35, 40 farim of the Rav. I don't remember where I read it, but I'm corroborated with Rabbi Shechter, whose father of Herschel Shechter writes it in the name of the Rav in one of his farim. So Hu Haya Omer means he lived what he taught, and his life was an example of his teachings. So that means Hillel was not one who judged someone, because he understood he would never be in their place. He wasn't someone who preached and lived a different way. He was a true Talmud Chacham, which is Tocho Kabaro. We know, called Talmud Chacham, she ain't Tocho Kabaro, ain't Talmud Chacham. Someone whose inside is not like his outside is not Talmud Chacham. It's easy to preach. It's easy for me to tell you what to do. The question is, oh, how does Michal Arutz live her life? I could be a powerful orator, perhaps, and I could, you know psukim and know where to find things in the Chumashim and the Sfarim of the Rav. That's really nice. How do I live my life? That's the real litmus test of a person. So Hu Haya Omer. Rav Soloveitchik says, when the Tana says this, what it means is the way he lived his life was his saying. What a strong Mr. Haska. It's so easy for us to preach to our children, to our spouses, to our friends, to tell other people what's right, other people what's wrong. The question is how I live my life. That's Hu Haya Omer. So who was Hillel? So for tonight's year, I prepared with a new sefer that I never taught from before. So Baruch Shechian V'kiman V'gyan L'zman. I actually bought it like last year. I'm really excited. I actually bought it like last year, but I never opened it until I started to prepare for this year. So a couple of weeks ago, because I knew we were going to spend time, Esti Klein, more time than you thought, on this Mishnah. So I started to read it a couple of weeks ago, and then specifically in preparing for this year, I took it out. So it's art scroll. It's really interesting. It's called, it looks like the Gemara. It's called Introduction to the Talmud. It's a whole history of the rabbinic scholars in Babylon, a whole history of the rabbinic scholars in Eretz Yisrael, a history of the time. And then it has a brief biography, of each of the major Tanaim and Amoraim. So who was Hillel? So what have we not yet learned? Hillel Omer. We learned about in depth, really in depth, Baruch Hashem, everything he taught us in this Mishnah. But who was he? That question probably stumps all of us, because the reality is, okay, we know about Aaron, we know about Moshe, we meet him in this week's parasha, we know about the Avos, we know about the Imahos. How much do we know about the lives of our great rabbis who handed us the Torah Sheba Al Peh? So let's have a little bit of a biography of Hillel HaZaken. I'll just tell you that I looked up in Rabbi Lau's Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Lau writes that according to most commentators, just for the sake of scholarly honesty and intellectual honesty, Rabbi Lau brings down that according to the majority of commentators, this Mishnah is taught to us by the famous Hillel HaZaken. There is a very minority opinion that others strongly refute that it was taught to us by a different Hillel. It was taught to us, some say, by Hillel. One second. Hello, Benosh Rabban Gamliel, Benosh Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. But Rabbi Lau writes that most scholars refute that, they do not accept that, and it seems to be that this was taught by the Hillel Hazaken that we are discussing. So who was Hillel? He was a Tana. He lived both in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to take a little bit of a journey back into understanding who he was. You know, today my shelves are lined with, the biographies are over there, past the curtains. Shelves are lined with biographies of our Gedolim, but we don't really know the biographies of the Tanaim and the Amoraim. He was a Tana who lived both in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the most famous of all Tanaim. He led a renaissance of Torah study during the last century of Bayis Sheni. Okay? He founded an illustrious line of Nisim that continued uninterrupted for 14 generations and for hundreds of years. Hillel was known as Hillel HaBavli, even though, by the way, you're going to see he moved to Eretz Yisrael, Hillel the Babylonian, and Hillel HaZaken, Hillel the Elder. Remember last year we already started, not last year, what am I saying? Last week we already started the biography a little bit because we spoke about the incident when he went to sleep on the top of the roof so he could hear the Torah from Shemaiah and Avtalion. So, he studied under Shemaiah and Avtalion, the Torah leaders of that generation. His most famous colleague, of course, was who? Who? Shammai, very good. Chasneros v'alacha kebeis Hillel, his most famous. Shammai says, you start with 8, you go down to 1. Hillel says, you start with 1, you go down to 8. Chanukah, Chasneros v'alacha kebeis Hillel, his most famous colleague, and you would say the Milchamta Shel Torah, with who he had the most disagreement for the sake of Torah, was Shammai. His academy, Hillel's academy, attracted many students of high caliber, including Yonasan ben Uziel and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. In almost all cases, where the students of Hillel, base Hillel, and the students of Shammai, base Shammai, disagree, the halacha follows who? Except, I think, for 18 places, and they disagree in hundreds of places in the Gemara, except, I believe, the number is 18. Halacha is kebeis Hillel, the overwhelming majority of cases. Brief history of his life. I really hope you find this as exciting. I do. I think it's fascinating. Hillel descended from the family of King David. He is one of the rare, listen, he is one of the rare individuals in the Tanaic period for whom we have precise dates as to when he lived and when he died. So he's very rare as the aberration because he's one of the only Tanaim who we actually know the dates of when he lived and died. He became Nasi 100 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. For the first 40 years of his life, he lived in Bavel, studied under the sages of Eretz Yisrael for the next 40 years. So at the age of 40, he picked up and he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he served as Nasi for the last 40 years of his life. So if we did the math while I was speaking, how old was he when he died? He lived in Babylonia, Bavel, for 40 years. They traveled back and forth. Just like today we travel from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael. They traveled. These were real people. They lived. They studied. They taught. They bought. They climbed to the skylight. They got caught in snowstorms and avalanches. And they were real people. They were Gaone Olam. They held up the world with Torah, and they still do, but they were people. He lived for the first 40 years in Bavel. He studied under the sages of Eretz Yisrael. He moved to Eretz Yisrael at the age of 40, and he served as Nasi for the last 40 years of his life. The dates of Hillel's life are 110 before the Common Era to 10 Common Era. So he lived at the last epoch, if you will, a Bayis Sheni. If it was destroyed in 69 Common Era, he lived from 110 BCE to 10 CE. So he lived from 3650 in the Jewish calendar year to 3770. He died in 10 of the Common Era. After studying for the first 40 years of his life in Bavel, where he became an accomplished scholar, he picked up and he went to Eretz Yisrael. So it's, last week we spoke about it's never too late, and the week before we spoke about it's never too late. No one should ever think we're so set in our ways in Chutz Laretz that it's too late to move to Eretz Yisrael. He came to Eretz Yisrael specifically to join the Academy of Shemaiah and Avtalion. Remember last week he couldn't get in because the shomer at the door wouldn't let him in because he didn't have money. So he went to hear Divrei Elokim Chaim Pi Shemaiah and Avtalion, the Shemaiah and Avtalion that we spoke about were his Rabbeim in Eretz Yisrael. He earned a meager living as a woodchopper, and he would use half of his daily earnings to pay to get into the Beis Medrash. And now the biography continues with the Gemara that we did last week, so I am skipping it over. He spent nearly 20 years under Shmaya and Avtalion, absorbing the wisdom of the sages. He became fluent in many languages, including languages of trees, animals, and angels. So he was truly a Gaon Olam. And by the way, this is a fascinating sefer, mamash, I never taught from it before, but it gives the sources for everything it tells us about Hillel's life. I'm not giving you all the sources, but it gives sources for everything. So not only did he study under Shmaya and Avtalion, but he amassed mass Torah knowledge, and he understood the language of nature, the language of trees, the language of animals and angels. When his teacher, Shmaya and Avtalion, passed away, the country descended into political turmoil. And so Hillel returned to the relative calm of Bavel to continue to study and teach Torah. He felt that he could not continue to live in Eretz Yisrael, there was too much turmoil, and so he moved back to Chutz Lartz, back to the west, back to east, back to Bavel. It's interesting because, did I say it yet how long he lived? Did I miss it? He died at the age of 120. So I remember I asked Rabbi Shai Shechter two questions this afternoon when I was preparing Shir. So I remember that hearing Rabbi Shechter say in a shir a few months ago that four people lived to the age of 120. The most obvious was who? Moshe Rabbeinu. The second one is Hillel, as we just remember, 40 years in Bavel, 40 years in Eretz Yisrael, 40 years as Nasi, and we have the exact dates of when he lived. Hillel, so Moshe Rabbeinu lived till 120. Hillel lived till 120. Rabbi Akiva also very famously lived till 120. I couldn't remember the fourth one. Rabbi Shachter told me that the fourth one was, oh, I'm going to get up to where he's buried. You're going to the end of his biography, Chana Wasserman, and that comes at the end. You have to wait. So Rabbi Shechter told me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the fourth one who lived to 120 years. What I thought was very interesting about that, I don't know if anybody remembers, but amongst his most prominent students were Yonasan ben Uziel. By the way, for those who learn Parsha with me, Targum Yonasan, Amuka, Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel was one of his most famous students, who's buried in Amuka in the north in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Moshe lived 120 years, Hillel lived 120 years, Rabbi Akiva lived 120 years, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Talmid of Hillel, also lived 120 years. And perhaps this is why we give people a blessing that they should live till 120 years. Vivian's father lived half that. Half. How young? Is 61 years old. We give a person a bracha for 120. And yet some people accomplish in short years what other people don't accomplish in the longest lives. However, these upstanding gaonim, rabbanim, leaders, accomplished so much. They really filled their 120 years, from Moshe to Hillel to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to Rabbi Akiva. And perhaps that's why we give people a bracha. You should live to 120 years. It's not good to have life, to waste your life, like Hillel teaches us. Don't say, when I have time, I will learn, lest you never have time. But if you maximize your time, the bracha is really that you should fill your days with your potential, as Moshe did, as Hillel did, as Rabbi Akiva did, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did. So after Shmaya and Avtalion died, and Eretz Yisrael descended into political chaos, he actually returned to Bavel to study and teach Torah. In his 80th year, he traveled from Bavel to Yerushalayim for Pesach. Isn't that amazing? You know why? Why do many Chutz La'aretz niks do for the Shalosh Regalim? Now we can't go. Like Rabbi Reisman said in the beginning of the pandemic, Rabbi Reisman Shlita said back in March, a wall has gone up between us and Eretz Yisrael, and we are on the wrong side of the wall. In his 80th year, Hillel traveled from Bavel to Yerushalayim for Pesach. At that time, the spiritual leaders of the country heard a student of Shmaya and Avtalion was in town, and they summoned him to recall a forgotten law of the Korban Pesach. He so impressed them with his scholarship, they appointed him Nasi. And the Gemara says, when Torah law was forgotten, Ezra came from Bavel and reestablished it. When it was forgotten again, Hillel the Babylonian came and reestablished it. So he's known as Hillel from Bavel, and he's also known as Hillel the Zakein. It was a troubled time in Eretz Yisrael. The tyrant Herod, who was appointed by the Romans to be king of Israel, was waging a physical and a spiritual war during Hillel's lifetime. So they did not have idyllic lives. They didn't have peaceful lives. We have political turmoil in our day and age. They had political turmoil in their day and age. It was times of persecution. The Romans had appointed Herod. Herod killed many, many Jews. There was a physical and spiritual war against the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a very real fear of government reprisal. Years of oppression. And we tend to think they were all, you know, so great in terms of Torah learning, and everybody was 100% tzaddikim. Years of oppression had caused many Jews to abandon the ways of their forefathers. This was during Hillel's time. Many Jews had forgotten how to practice and live, as is what we call today a Shomer Shabbos Yid. And those who remained were split into various factions. Hillel believed they had to increase the quantity and quality of Torah study, and under his leadership, this is extremely interesting, Torah study was transformed from the pursuit of a dedicated minority, listen carefully, to a widespread cultural phenomenon. So Hillel was responsible for taking Torah and teaching it and bringing it to the masses. It used to be reserved for the elite, the leaders, the rabbis, Moshe Gibel Torah Misyunu, Mesra Ali Yeshua, Yeshua Zakenim, Zakenim Levinim, Via Mesra Anche Knesset Sagadola, Heyman Bushlosha Dvarim, Mishnah Aleph, Apirka Evas. It used to be reserved for the elite, but Hillel saw that Am Yisrael was not doing well like this. We were in spiritual danger, never mind physical danger, and people were forgetting the laws and forgetting how to live. And so he turned Torah study from the pursuit of a dedicated minority to a widespread cultural phenomenon. You could say that's one of his legacies, because Baruch Hashem, we live in a day and age where, yes, amongst the masses, in a positive way, Torah study has become, in a positive, beautiful way, a cultural phenomenon. We attend Shiurim, we have access to Shiurim, we have access to teachers. It's a tremendous bracha, and Hillel brought this about almost 2,000 years ago. It is quoted in Avos de Rabbi Nasan. Beis Hillel used to say, teach Torah to everyone. For there were many sinners in Israel who returned to God through Torah study. So Beis Hillel said, teach Torah to everyone. Of course, there's a famous story with the convert. He goes to Shammai and he says, teach me Torah on one foot. And what does Shammai do? Shabbos 31a. Shammai pushes him away. What does Hillel do? One of Hillel's most famous teachings. What is hateful to your friend, don't do. What is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. That's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Go learn. So Hillel believed in teaching Torah to the masses in order to ensure the spiritual survival of Knesset Yisrael. And that's the approach. I still remember years ago, I spoke in Shalamis Elementary School. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was quite a while ago. And when Mrs. Yarmuk called me to speak, she said I was going to be speaking to the first graders, second graders, and she said sometimes she tells a speaker, if they're hesitant about the age, she says, Torah is for all ages. Do you speak to your children? Do you speak to your grandchildren? Mrs. Yarmuk would say, then you can come and you can speak to my children. And Hillel brought the Torah study to everybody. Hillel's concern for his fellow Jew was outstanding. Hillel taught his students that, I'm not reading you the whole biography of Hillel from this, or we would be here much longer than 35 minutes. It's all amazing. I've only picked snippets to give us an overview, I think a comprehensive overview, I hope, of his life, and perhaps enlighten us into this great Tana that really, I would venture to say, most of us knew nothing about, except for quoting his name. Hillel says this, and Hillel says that. Who's Hillel? Hillel taught his students, this is very interesting, that taking care of themselves was a mitzvah. The Medrash records, Medrash Vayikra Rabbi, I did not look up the Medrash, I'm quoting from the Sefer. Once, when Hillel took leave of his students, they asked him where he was going. He told them he was off to perform a mitzvah. What mitzvah? He's going to the bathhouse to wash himself, or to take a shower. Incredulous, the student said, is that really a mitzvah? Yes, Hillel replied. Don't you see there is a man appointed to scrub and wash the statue of the king? We keep public property. It used to be, when there was respect for public property, people would keep it clean. They would wash the statues, not tear down the statues. Don't you see there is someone appointed to scrub and wash the statue of the king? And the government pays him for that and seats him among the noblemen. All the more so I, said Hillel to students, who are made in the image of God, perform a mitzvah when I wash my body. And I think it also has a strong Mr. Haska for us, because it's important for us to take care of ourselves. It's important for us to eat properly, try and find time to exercise, make sure we're clean, that we have clean clothing, that we are of appropriate appearance. I'm not talking about fancy. A person has to take care of their bodies. And Hillel taught us that it's a mitzvah to wash yourself. It's a mitzvah. Yes, because if they pay people to scrub the statue of the king, how much more so I should make sure that I, a servant of the king, am clean and neat and presentable and appropriate. My son was just telling me, one of my ninth graders in Masivta Chaim Shlomo, Avishiva Darchei Torah, he told me just 2 days ago, the rabbi, Rabbi Stern, he's in ninth grade, Kanainahara, the rabbi asked the boys, it's a shir of about 36 boys, Kanainahara, who makes their bed in the morning? So my son said, like five kids in the class raised their hand. So the rabbi was giving them a Mr. Shmuz. He says, it's very important to make your bed. It indicates Seder, neatness. Avet Hashem takes care of his life in a certain way. So my son said, the boy said, but rabbi, no one sees our bed. No one goes into the bedroom. The rabbi said, it doesn't matter. It's between you and Hashem. And that's personal avodas Hashem. And a Jew must be neat at all times. So Hillel taught his students that to wash is a mitzvah. Another time, continues Medrash Vayikra Rabbah, he would tell his students he was leaving to perform a mitzvah of feeding the guest in his house. Could it really be you have a guest in your house every day, said the students, because every day he would leave and he'd say, I'm going to feed the guest in my house. And he replied, is the soul not a guest inside the body? Today the soul resides in the body, but tomorrow it will be gone. In other words, I'm going to perform the mitzvah of eating. Feeding the guest is my soul that resides within me. It's a guest here in Hillel's case for 120 years, like Moshe, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, like Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to perform the mitzvah of eating. By eating, I am nourishing the guest who resides inside my body. So Hillel didn't only teach us the language, well, he understood the language of the birds and the language of the angels and the language of the trees, but it's practical teachings. A person has to be able to take care of themselves. You have to shower, you have to bathe, you have to clean, you have to dress, you have to eat, and you have to have in mind that you're performing a mitzvah when you do and you perform these things. Hillel himself, interestingly, let me just see if there's any questions besides for Chana Wasserman, which we're still going to get there, okay? Hillel himself does not have many original rulings recorded in his name, which is very interesting. And he halachic, does not have many halachic rulings recorded in his name. Why? He lived before Churban Bayis Sheni. Remember, we said he died in 10 Common Era. So about 60 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And in his time, Torah was being transmitted from teacher to student in nearly the same pristine form as received at Sinai. So it was such a pure Mesorah, still in Hillel's time, from Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai Umasra LeYoshua, down to the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, that he does not have many original rulings recorded in his name in Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, the two greatest sages of that generation, Hillel and Shammai, argued over the law only in three places. Well, I thought I said before they argued in over 300 places. No, their students disagreed. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai disagreed over many, many topics. But Hillel and Shammai themselves, the person Hillel, he was a person, argued over the law in only three places, because there wasn't really machlokas l'shem shamayim at that time, because Torah was still being handed down in the most pristine form. By contrast, their two academies, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, disagreed in hundreds of places. What are two of the most famous enactments of Hillel? One of them I'm asking you. Post it on the chat. What's one of the most famous enactments of Hillel? I'm going to tell you the first one, which I don't know, maybe some of you know. I did not know this. One of his most famous enactments, still in use today, so we're going back about 2,000 years ago, is the Prusbol. Do not ask me any halachic questions. This is a document that transfers outstanding debts to the court and prevents them from being canceled by the Shemitah year, because you learn Chumash with me, you learn Pasha with me. I'll pee to Chumash. Oh, beautiful. Very, very nice. My friend Fran Sikuk. Yashar Kochech. Beautiful. That's the second one. So just wait, okay? That's one of his most famous teachings. Beautiful. Kein asa Hillel, bisman shebeis hamikdash hayakayam, hayakorach pesach matzah umorah v'ocha b'yachad, l'kayim ha'shanemra, amatzos umirorim yachlu. We're not so far from Pesach. Less than 3 months. That's exactly right. Very, very nice. Beautiful. Okay. So what's the Prusbol? The first of his most famous enactments is the Prusbol. This is a document that transfers. Oh, what I was saying is, if you learn parsha or if you go through the parsha on your own, in the Shemitah year, all debts are canceled, right? So if I lend you money in year six, I lend you $50. Now Shemitah year comes, I just lost my $50. Okay? That's it. Hillel, this is the most basic, because I said, don't ask me questions of halacha. I repeat that often. One of his most famous enactments still in use today is the Prusbel. It's a document that transfers outstanding debts to the court and prevents them from being canceled by the Shemitah. So I will transfer my outstanding debt of $50 to the court to ensure that after Shemitah, I'll get the money back. Why? It was instituted to encourage people to lend money without fear of losing it. Because what's going to happen? Let's say you lend something in year two. So you have 5 more years before the person can pay you back. 4 years. So you're not so worried. You're going to get your money back. And if you lend something in year three. But by the time you get to year five and year six, you're pretty wary. Like, am I really going to lend this guy money? Let's say he doesn't make the money back in enough time. Let's say his business tanks. Let's say he can't come up with the money. Good for him. It's going to be Shemitah year in 12 months. And I'm just lost $50. Even more could be. So therefore, Hillel instituted this to encourage people to lend money before the Shemitah year, so we shouldn't be afraid of losing. Otherwise, you're going to have paupers, you're going to have destitute people. Knesset Yisrael runs on tzedakah. Pasach tivtras yadcha elachicha ha'avyon. So Prusbel is one, and the second one, like Franz Lekuk said, beautiful, his quote, and you can read it on the chat, the sandwich at the Seder. Ima, how you doing? Are you happy you joined us? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Another of his well-known practices, which is now part of the Pesach Haggadah and Seder ritual, and I already said the girsa for you, you all know it off by heart just like I do, was to wrap the meat of the Pesach offering. But in their time, remember, they were a Nebuch having a little of a, you know, zeroah on the Seder plate as an Azkara. They really had the Karban Pesach. Remember I told you in the 80th year when he traveled from Bavel to Yerushalayim, they asked him to recall a forgotten law of the Pesach offering. When he recalled that, they were so impressed by his brilliance, they made him Nasi. So they actually had the Korban Pesach. So what did he do? He wrapped the meat of the Pesach offering, the Korban Pesach, together with matzah and marah, and he ate them as a sandwich. And what do we call it? The Hillel sandwich. As Franz Lichuk said, the sandwich at the Seder. Beautiful. So these are two of his most famous teachings. Now, Aviva Hach said, do unto others. So interesting. Amongst Hillel's teachings, and this isn't a halachic enactment like the Prusbel and the Pesach Korach sandwich. However, the next paragraph says, Aviva Hach, among Hillel's teachings is one of the most well-known sayings in all of Talmud. That which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the essence of the entire Torah. The rest is an elaboration, and go learn. So Aviva Hach, you're correct that he is very famous for the teaching of that which is hateful to you, do not do unto your fellow. The Talmud, we're finishing up. I could keep going. And maybe we'll continue next week. And it's just incredible because it's important to bring these Tanaim to life. He says, and he says, and he says, and who was he? I don't know, just a name. So he went through the whole Mishnah. But you know what we didn't learn? Hillel Omer. Don't forget how we started with the piece by Rav Soloveitchik. The way a person lives their lives is what they say. You could say and preach and you could be a powerful orator and a wonderful speaker. How do you live? That's really what you say. What you say is the extra. How you live. And I think when I was preparing, I thought that specific teaching relates very much to Vivian's father, Shlomo Ben Yisrael, because she said he had such a simchas achayim. And that was not so typical of Holocaust survivors after everything he went through. And he always made people feel happy and welcome. And he was giving to others. So you could say and say and say, but the question is, how do you live? What do you say through your actions? It's something that I have to ask myself. It's something we all have to ask ourselves. It's easy to talk. It's much harder to do. Yes, Hillel did say im eina nili mili, im with a aleph, just to clarify that. Im eina nili mili, he did say that. He said that in Pirkei Avos 1:14. I don't know that off by heart. It happens to be in my sheer preparation notes. I have a couple of papers here that I'm working with. Pirkei Avos, Perak Av, Mishnah Yadal. So there are many, many teachings of Hillel. There are many teachings. What we're trying to do tonight is gain an understanding of his life, where he lived, the time period in which he lived, his accomplishments, his rabbeim, his contemporary, his talmidim, and the political environment in which he lived. When Hillel died at the age of 120, so remember the four people, Moshe, Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, and Hillel's Talmud, so I'm probably going out of order, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When Hillel died at the age of 120, he was eulogized as a pious and humble man who followed in the footsteps of Ezra HaSofer. Why? Because he immigrated to Eretz Yisrael and he became a Torah leader of his generation. He was succeeded as Nasi by his son Shimon. And now, Chana Wasserman, I come to your question at the end of Shir. Hillel is buried, along with many of his disciples, in a burial cave in Meron. So not far from Yonasan ben Uziel, who was one of his famous Talmidim. Amuka and northern Israel, Meron, are not far from each other. He's buried along with many of his disciples in a burial cave in Meron, in the north of Israel, not far from the famous burial site of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So let us now go back to the Mishnah, and now let's look at it again. Hillel Omer, Al Tifush Min Hatzibur. Hillel, who died in 10 Common Era, who lived in a time of political turbulence, who brought Torah to the masses, whose Rebbeim was Shmayin of Talion, whose contemporary was Shammai, whose greatest Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who lived 120 years like him, and Yonasan ben Uziel. Hillel, who taught us the forgotten law of the Korban Pesach. Hillel, who enacted the principle so people and Jews would continue to lend each other and help each other. Hillel, who we sit down at the Pesach Seder and say, Zecher l'mikdash Hillel, Zecher l'mikdash, Kein Asa Hillel. He died, he lived in the last time period, if you will, of bias. Shani, Hillel, who teaches us it's a mitzvah to take a shower and it's a mitzvah to eat properly. Hillel, who made his 120 years count. Hillel is mechayev the aniyim. Because you're not poorer than Hillel, who led a revolutionary life of dedication to Torah learning, Torah teaching, and avodas Hashem despite the political and spiritual turbulence of his time. So now, Hillel Omer, Al Tifush Min HaTzibur, don't separate from the assembly, Tzadik, Beinoni, Rasha, Al Tami Ba'atzmecha Ad Yom Moscha. He kept learning, he kept striving, he kept growing. At the age of 40, he picked up and went to Eretz Yisrael, and then he went back to Bavel, and then at 80, he came back to Eretz Yisrael, and then he became the Nasi. Al Tadines Chaver Chacha Degilim Koma. Hillel Omer, the way you live, says Rav Salvechik, is more important than anything you ever say. The Tanaim taught us by living, and that's what they said. Al Tomer davar shi afsha lishma shasofa lihishama. And finally, Al Tomer v'kisha ipana eshna, because Hillel knows, if you say, when I may have time, I'll learn. Shama lo tifana. The reality is that you will never get around to learning. Did he live in Yerushalayim or in the Meron or go to Yerushalayim for the Regalim? Okay, so I can't tell exactly where he lived. At the age of 80, he went from Babel to Yerushalayim for Pesach. Why he was buried up in the north and not in the Jerusalem region? If you take a tour of Kivrei Tzadikim in the north, you will see how many of our giants from the time period of Torah Shebaal Peh, Tanaim and Amorim are buried. Rabbi Akiva is buried up there as well. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel, Hillel is also buried there. Why they chose that for burial grounds, I'm not sure. Perhaps an investigation for a different time. There was no third halacha, SD, two halachos. Two of his famous enactments was the Prusbol and the Korach sandwich. No third halacha. I said after that, amongst his teachings is the well-known saying in all of Talmud, what's hateful to your friend, what's hateful to you, don't do to your friend. Right? So it was the Prusbol and, like Fran guessed, the Korach sandwich. We thank Vivian, by the way, joining us from Toronto. When I say Vivian Murmerstein, for those who don't know, Zoom has opened up the world. Really? And we thank her very, very much for her sponsorship this evening. And I hope that the Torah was unique, interesting, and inspiring. It was for me. It's amazing. May Shlomo ben Yisrael, on the occasion of his 42nd Yahrzeit, 21 Teves, merit an Aliyah Neshama in the Zchus of the Torah learning that we shared. May we all make every day count. And the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us his chus to continue this learning together and enlighten and inspire each other. Thank you so much. And thank you to my mother-in-law for joining, as well as to everybody else. We went a little longer than usual.